You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Hello, Dolphin fans. You are listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. I'm your host, Steve Amasso, on this Wednesday, May the 5th. Now, in today's episode, we have some interesting news in regards to a potential new addition here in the Dolphins secondary, which we will begin the episode with. And then I'm going to be giving my overall thoughts on the Dolphins draft, give a little grade for how it turned out, and then how this could impact the team in the 2021 season as well as beyond. So first, we'll begin with the Dolphins meeting with a free agent safety. They hosted him for a visit, and he's already been making a bunch of memes and stuff on Twitter about it, and that is former Colts first round pick Malik Hooker. So you guys may remember him as a very promising prospect coming out of college. He hasn't really lived up to those expectations. Many have said that he didn't really fit what the Colts were doing. He wasn't as physical enough as a tackler as the Colts would have wanted him to be, because they put a lot of emphasis on that in their secondary, and he's just battled a ton of injuries throughout his career. He's had surgery to repair a torn labrum. He has had surgery to repair a hernia. In 2018, he missed the remainder of the season with a torn ACL and MCL. And then most recently, he missed most of the 2020 season with a torn Achilles. So there's been a ton of injuries for Malik Hooker. He hasn't been able to play an entire season. The most he's played in one season has been 13. Now, he could be a viable guy, but it's most likely that he's going to be on some sort of prove-it contract. He's going to be on that one-year deal where a team wants to really see, one, if he can play at a high level, but mostly if he can last the whole duration of a season. So with that being said, they may be able to get him for cheap. I think that's how most teams are approaching getting him as an addition. He had a visit with the Cowboys before, but reportedly he was not interested. So I think the fact that he's already making jokes and having fun with the Dolphin fans is a lot more of a better sign in terms of him liking Miami as a landing spot. Now, you may have already seen on Twitter that Mike over there at Dolphins Talk was saying that this could hurt, you know, it could be damaging news for one of your favorite Dolphin players, and I believe he was referring to, in this case, Bobby McCain, because, of course, we saw the Dolphins in the second round of the draft just a few days ago. They elected to go with Javon Holland. That was already bad news. Many were already speculating that Bobby McCain is just too damaging to the cap, that it would be more of a detriment just keeping him on the team. So the fact that Dolphins are looking here for free agents to booster this area, it's just a very bad sign for guys who are rooting for Bobby McCain to be a member of the Dolphins this season. Now, to talk about McCain a little bit, he has never been absolutely spectacular, but he has been a solid player for most of his career. This would kind of fall under that same umbrella of him being released, not necessarily because he's been playing poorly or not meeting expectations, but rather just because it's such a big cap issue. The same thing here that happened with Kyle Van Noy could likely be happening here when we look at Bobby McCain. And when it comes to McCain, he's already been a member of the team for some time. I think it's fair to say that his potential has already been reached. He's already at his peak. We know what we're getting. Whereas the Dolphins could look in the direction of some of these younger guys. Malik Hooker's only 25. And then, of course, Javon Holland being a rookie, they could focus their attention there, see if they could get a little bit more. But overall, Bobby McCain was a solid player. We saw in those few instances where he would go down with an injury, maybe leave the field for a few plays, that it seems like whoever was filling the spot for him wasn't able to replicate what he was doing, and there would be a big play. Whether it was a guy like Clayton Fajelum or somebody else, somebody wasn't able to replicate what Bobby McCain did. So even if the Dolphins elect to go in a different direction, I think they saw last year how bad it is when you don't have a viable safety with some depth over there to provide support if somebody gets hurt. So I think the Dolphins, even if they have a rookie they believe in like Javon Holland, going after a guy like Malik Hooker, if you think Bobby McCain won't be a member of the team, it may makes absolute sense, and he's going to be on that prove-it contract. It should be cheap. It should be a veteran with some upside. Again, I don't know how much to really expect from him, but overall, I think it could be a good value move. Now, to talk about the draft here, this may sound familiar because I've been talking about a lot of these guys pretty heavily, but to grade the draft as a whole, I think the Dolphins did extremely well for what they had at their disposal. There were a few picks that were definitely question marks, definitely one that I think are risky. It could make them look like a genius, but at the same time, if it doesn't pan out, it may look like a bonehead move. So they did take some risk, but I think one thing that I've been saying pretty frequently is the Dolphins lately have an extremely good track record at developing some of these younger guys, so I think they at least deserve the benefit of the doubt to wait and see how it pans out. Now, overall, the Dolphins draft grade, I would give them an A-, just on the basis that I do think some of the picks, while they absolutely present a ton of upside, at the same time, I have to acknowledge that they may have been a little bit more on the risky side. The pick that I love the most is the one the Dolphins took at number 6. Of course, when you're picking in the top 10, that's a guy that could be a potential franchise changer, and I think with Ja'Marr Chase gone, with Kyle Pitts gone, it's hard to knock the Dolphins' decision to go with Jaylen Waddle. I know I was personally extremely big on Devontae Smith here. I had him a little bit above Waddle, but this is one of those instances where the upside is through the roof. The physical talent, the absolute speed this guy has, if the Dolphins could hone in on that, they have a guy who has a tremendous, just a huge amount of upside here. Not only that, something I mentioned too, the Dolphins last year, only 4 plays of 40 plus yards last season, only 4. That was 30th in all of football. They will enter this season with Will Fuller and with Jaylen Waddle, guys who have absolutely just dynamic speed and could break it big over the top. There is a potential here for a drastic shift in the offensive style we saw from Miami, something that trends more towards the new style of football we're seeing with these air attack offenses and less of that Chan Gailey small ball Adam Gaze screenings. I think we're going to see a lot more of a dynamic offense with the addition of these two guys. Now, the next pick here for the Dolphins is another one that I'm personally viewing as another home run, and that's the addition of Jalen Phillips. A lot of people, after I had in my mock draft, if you guys remember, I had the Dolphins with that first round pick going for an edge. Instead, I had him going after Kwity Paye. The injury issues with Jaylen Waddle scared me off a little bit, but I had him going edge, and I'm not sure if it was directed at me or just a coincidence, but I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying that edge guys don't have an immediate impact. Why would they go for an edge player when they could go for a running back and get a lot more out of them in 2021? And trust me, that sentiment I agree with. I think that running backs in general come out extremely strong in their rookie season. There is absolutely no learning curve for a rookie running back. It's like they get in there and they thrive right off the bat, whereas an edge player typically takes a little bit more time to get acclimated and get his snap count up. But the Dolphins in particular here had an absolutely glaring need at the edge position. And if you remember, their strength of the team last season was their defense. And I have to say, objectively, before this draft, they hadn't necessarily done a ton to improve the defensive side of the ball. And if anything, they lost a few key defensive players, especially around that edge position, guys like Kyle Van Noy and Shaq Lawson. So personally, I just saw no situation where the Dolphins early on, either in the first or second round, didn't come away with a player who was going to be at that edge spot. I don't think the Dolphins were in a position where they could afford to regress on the strength of their team, which was the defense. They have a lot of guys still on this team from last season who outperformed a lot of the expectations, but taking the risk on them replicating that success or not having depth behind them is a risky strategy. So I think going after an edge here, a guy like Jaylen Phillips, who I think is about as pro ready as you can get at that position, is an awesome move. And frankly, I'm in love with it. The only thing, again, that scared me off are those injury issues. And he said in the press conference after the draft that he was very forthcoming. The Dolphins are extremely aware of everything in regards to those injuries. So if they were able to determine that it is a safe move, then there's nothing I can do aside from trust that they've made the right decision in this spot. And I will say that if you get a chance to listen to that press conference right after he was drafted, the guy had a ton of praise. Of course, he went to the University of Miami. He's extremely grateful towards the entire city. He said at one point, Los Angeles made me, but Miami saved me. And just overall, he was ecstatic to be back here in the 305. So overall, I was very pleased with that pick as well. Now, when we get to the second round pick, this may sound a little familiar if you listen to my podcast via the source, but picking Javon Holland in that second round spot was a little confusing to me initially, and it's not because they were going after a safety. If you remember, I said that I wasn't completely sold on the idea that the Dolphins were even going to go running back here. Javonte Williams was there on the board, but I said keep your eye on Trevon Merrig, the safety out of TCU, because I do think the Dolphins are looking to replace Bobby McCain. Now, Merrig ended up falling. Apparently, he had some back injuries, but the Dolphins still went with a safety in this second round spot, and they went after Javon Holland out of Oregon, which was a very interesting spot for him to go, in my opinion, because I didn't have him necessarily that high on my board ahead of some of these key guys. So I was a little bit confused initially. I was thinking, okay, maybe the Dolphins reached. I saw that the Cowboys were extremely interested in him, but aside from that, I didn't see him going too high in a lot of these mock drafts. But after getting a chance to listen in on that conference call that he had after he was drafted, it made absolute and total sense. Once you listen to him and you hear his charisma, you hear that he is willing to be a leader on this team right off the bat. There were a lot of similarities, I think, between him and Brandon Jones coming out. If you guys remember Brandon Jones, there was all the reports that he studied each and every team's playbook prior to being drafted. And that was that same general feeling I got from Javon Holland, a guy who is willing to be a true student of the game, a guy who is willing to play wherever the coach wants him, which is something that runs completely contrary to the whole Minka Fitzpatrick situation, and a guy who is willing to be vocal and take on a leadership role with this team. A ton to love about him. As I mentioned, I've seen a ton of guys, I believe 3 yards per carry. Simon Clancy was comparing him to Patrick Chung, who had just an absolutely valuable role in the Patriots defense for years when Brian Flores was there. So if he could take on a similar role where he was just versatile, dynamic, covers guys in the slot, as well as being back there deep in safety and showing off his coverage skills, I think there is a ton to love about Javon Holland. Even though the Dolphins are in the mix there at getting Malik Hooker, I think that the plan is going to be that Javon Holland takes over by the end of the season, and I'm frankly not going to bet against him. Now, with the Dolphins' next pick here, they went after, at the number 42 overall spot, Liam Eichenberg, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Another one that made total sense. I don't think anybody was caught off guard with the Dolphins looking at the offensive line here. A lot of people projected him to go that direction when the Dolphins elected to trade Ereck Flowers. It just became that much more obvious. It was only a question of whether they were going to keep Robert Hunt at tackle and go after a guard here or go after a tackle, and they went with the latter here by taking Eichenberg again, a guy who didn't give up a single sack in 2 years. They asked him after in the little press conference that he said he had a very mobile quarterback, which helped, but he places a ton of emphasis on his techniques and on the fundamentals of the game. So another guy here that would not be shocking if he just takes over this right tackle spot right off the bat. I think he has a good chance to win that starting role, and overall, I'm very excited about the premise of the Dolphins having this many talented guys at the offensive line at a very young age. The potential for them to all grow and hit their peak around the same time is extremely exciting to me. Now, this next peak here in round three, this is the one which was a major head scratcher to me, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people will say the same thing and probably not be as nice as I am about it. And it was at round three, number one overall, the Dolphins elected to draft tight end Hunter Long. Now, this was extremely confusing to me initially because the Dolphins didn't necessarily appear to have a tight end need. I mean, you got Mike Gesicki, albeit on the last year of his contract. You got Durham Smythe, who was good. You had Adam Shaheen, who was pretty solid. You had a good amount of depth here at the tight end position, but regardless of that, the Dolphins elected to go after Hunter Long in this spot, which was a little bit of a head scratcher because there was no need, and he didn't really strike me as the best player available in that spot anyway. But again, I will give them the benefit of the doubt. They've had a good track record at developing some of these younger guys. If I had to compare him, and this isn't because his name is also Hunter, but he reminds me of a guy like Hunter Henry, who still serves as a primary receiving tight end kind of target, but he isn't that wide receiver hybrid almost kind of guy. He isn't that Mike Gesicki. He isn't that Kyle Pitts. He is still definitely built more like the traditional tight end, but he is still pretty dynamic as a receiving tight end, and he is extremely reliable. So I'll give him that. I'll give the Dolphins the benefit of the doubt here. Who knows? Maybe he could be an exciting option here, and the Dolphins could run some nice two tight end sets. But at the end of the day, this was a little bit of a head scratcher to me. If there's any pick in particular that I'm knocking, it's going to be this one. Now, the Dolphins traded out of pick five. They made a trade here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They traded their fifth round pick in exchange for a 2022 fourth round pick. I know a lot of people were frustrated with this one because there was still a running back need that people were hopeful the Dolphins could address at this spot, and it wasn't actually until the seventh round where the Dolphins got a running back, and it's not necessarily going to be a guy that's fighting for a lead role by any means, and it was Jared Doakes, the running back out of Cincinnati. Now, personally, I was able to watch him a little bit. The feeling I got from him is that he doesn't necessarily have that breakaway speed that you would look for in a true lead back, but he displays some nice bursts. His acceleration and hitting the hole is pretty good. It reminds me a little bit of James Robinson over there in Jacksonville, or of a younger version of Jordan Howard back when he was actually good with the Chicago Bears. So when I look at him, I don't necessarily see him, again, competing for any sort of starting role, but one of my biggest gripes about Myles Gaskin last year was that he kind of struggled in those short yardage situations. He was a guy that was extremely, you know, quick, and he was able to bounce around behind the line of scrimmage, but there were instances where you would rather have a guy like how the Dolphins brought in Malcolm Brown here, who would just take it straight up the gut and get you those few yards that you needed. So in this instance, maybe Jared Doakes could be that guy, because that kind of looks like the skill set that he provides, and he is also pretty decent as a pass blocker. He in fact tweeted before being drafted, if you want a guy to protect your quarterback, go out and draft me. The Dolphins elected to do that. So overall though, the whole scope of the draft, the Dolphins did not come away with a running back. I don't think it's going to hurt them too big. If you guys have been listening to me, I'm not too huge on the value of the running back position here. I know Tom over here at Dolphins Talk was very heated about not getting a running back, so we'll see at the end of the day if the Dolphins made the right decision or not. They could still pick up a veteran here, like a guy like Adrian Peterson or Todd Gurley, which could be interesting, but all we can do is wait and see. But overall, the grade I'll give the draft here for the Dolphins is an A-, and I think it was something that definitely is warranting of excitement from Dolphin fans here. And like I mentioned, the offensive line all hitting their peak together, the Dolphins finally getting some weapons for Tua, the edge need being addressed. So many things to love about this draft. I am very excited about this 2021 season. So guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode. As always, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so. That is at Shady Steven. If you'd like to hear more from me, I do a Dolphins podcast. I would appreciate it a bunch if you could go check it out on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. That is at Via the Source. Feel free to check that out. And as always, if you haven't already, make sure to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And for all your news about the team, go to DolphinsTalk.com. That's where you can stay updated on everything about the Miami Dolphins. Guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.